Bailouts.
Old and new.
From APM, American Public Media, I'm Jeremy Hobson, broadcasting from Ann Arbor, Michigan.
And I'm Adrienne Hill in Los Angeles. You're listening to the Midday Update from Marketplace.org. It's Tuesday, February 21st.
Coming up, I'll talk with the governor of Michigan about the auto industry bailout and the state of the economy.
And we'll find out what's on the minds of Michigan voters.
Plus, Greece gets a new $170 billion bailout package. What does that mean for Greeks?
Those stories and more just ahead on the Marketplace Midday Update.
Investing, renting, sending your kid to college? Listen to the Marketplace Money Podcast. Find it on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
We start this morning in Michigan.
That's where I'm reporting all this week on the real economy, what voters are thinking about as they get ready for next week's primary.
So, Jeremy, how's it going?
Well, it's going well. We've been around the state and voters have been talking to us about the economy, how they feel about that, how they feel about the auto industry bailout, which is obviously a key issue now in the Republican primary. All four of the candidates oppose the government's intervention in the auto industry a few years ago. Although now, you know, the state is starting to see things get better. The unemployment rate is coming down. And so there's a big question as to whether voters feel that the auto bailout was the right idea. And from the people we've been talking to, it seems most of them do think it was the right idea. And even those who don't, they don't think it was totally the wrong idea.
I would say Michigan may not have survived without the auto bailout. And I think without it, the recession we had would have been even deeper. I think unemployment may have gone up to levels I don't think anybody really would have realized were possible.
You bailing out car companies when you got people that need jobs, you can open up other companies, help people that got small businesses, you know, do better and try to progress. Because a car company, they're going to settle themselves. People not going to stop buying cars. So I think that kind of was a waste.
Being from Michigan, I don't want to see the car companies fail, but I don't like that the government also got involved with helping a failed business. I mean, you wouldn't expect that for your small corner shop, that the government should come in and pay for them to stay afloat.
I think that was probably one of the best things that ever happened. President Obama, you know, I commend him for stepping up to the plate. And if that did not happen, there would have been thousands and thousands of people out of work. And then what would they have done?
Now, Adrienne, that was Claire Kaur and Matt Thalen in Lansing, Erica Gaskin in Detroit, and Alex Aprile in East Lansing.
Now, I understand you also had a chance to sit down with Michigan's governor.
That's right. It's Rick Snyder. He's a Republican who has endorsed Mitt Romney. He took over the state last year from Democrat Jennifer Granholm. And in today's Midday Extra, we have an extended interview with him. Governor Snyder, good morning.
Good morning. Happy to be with you.
Well, how would you describe the economic recovery that's going on in Michigan? Your unemployment rate has dropped from about 14% to around 9% in just a couple of years.
Yeah, things are going well in Michigan. We're actually recovering faster than the rest of the country, which is great. We started from farther back. Last year, we created about 80,000 private sector jobs, and they're relatively well-paying jobs.
Well, as the rest of the country looks at that and what's happening in Michigan, I think the general sense is none of this would have been happening without the auto industry bailout. Do you agree with that?
Well, the auto industry has made a strong comeback, and it's exciting to see, and I'm a big supporter of the industry. But we've had a number of other industries. I would say it's broad-based in terms of sectors. Our agriculture industry has been doing well for a decade. They continue to do well. Tourism, we're a great state for that, and that's done well. So the good part is it's not just the auto industry, which is great to see them doing well, but it's fairly broad-based.
Do you think they should have been bailed out?
It wasn't your normal bankruptcy situation. If both those companies would have gone under, technically, it might have taken down the whole supply chain, including Ford. Could there have been other options? Yeah, but I'm not going to second guess. Let's just move forward and be happy we have good jobs here.
Do you think that there's a chance that the auto industry will be tied too closely to the Michigan economy going forward and that if there is another crash, if you will, again, things would go down in the state of Michigan? Or have you diversified enough?
Well, we're going to continue to diversify. But again, I don't walk away from the auto industry at all. Through these tough times, they've actually reconcentrated to some degree back in Michigan. And I want to see them do well, but we're going to continue to do other related paths. Manufacturing, I'm still very bullish on. We shouldn't be walking away from that in our country.
You came from the private sector as one of the candidates for President Mitt Romney did. Where have those skills come in handy when it comes to running government? And where has your private sector experience not applied?
Well, it's been very helpful in a couple regards. One is I very much focus on results as opposed to simply spending money. One of the differences, I would say, is working with the legislature and the need to have partnerships in that regard. In this world, you have to build broader coalitions, but it's going well because our whole focus here is about being positive, finding common ground and solutions and not being divisive. And that formula is working great in Michigan right now.
What's the toughest fight you've had to pick since you became governor?
Well, one of the toughest challenges we had in terms of challenges we're still working on is we want to build a new bridge with Canada. And it's a great project involving export-related jobs. And because of our partnership with Canada, they're willing to put up the funds to do the Michigan portion, so it'd be done without any Michigan taxpayer money, which is fabulous. It's a win overall, but we have one special interest who spend millions of dollars on misleading ads. And that's made it difficult to get public support.
Well, it's interesting because you're a Republican governor who is pushing for this big infrastructure project, this multi-billion-dollar bridge to Canada. Why do you have such a different view on the value of infrastructure, do you think, than a number of your colleagues across the country?
Well, I don't view this as a partisan issue. I view it as I was hired on the mandate to reinvent Michigan and create more and better jobs. And this is a great way for long-term export-related jobs in our state and a lot of good construction jobs in the meantime. And with the Canadians being so generous in their offer to help partner and provide those funds, we can do it at no taxpayer cost to us. That's just a fabulous economic answer. So I view this as basic economics. I like to remind people, if you draw a circle from Montreal to Chicago, it's a third of the North American economy, and we're right in the center of that. So Michigan has a great opportunity to continue to be logistically very important to all of North America.
One of the other big issues right now is education. You have made a push to increase education funding in Michigan. But how do you stop the brain drain? Once these students graduate, how do you stop them from going to Chicago or New York or somewhere else in the country?
Well, we're doing that. One of the things we created was a talent portal this last fall called mitalent.org. We have 76,000 open jobs in Michigan. So a lot of it was connecting people with opportunities, and these are good jobs, many of them. So one of the flaws of the private sector and the public sector is they didn't work well enough together to collaborate, and then the public sector didn't do enough to connect people. And I believe we're going to help lead the country. Instead of workforce development, I call it talent with the three C's, creating, collaborating, and connecting talent in a very positive way. And it's going well. The other one is Detroit's making a good comeback, and quality of life in a place like Detroit's exciting now. That's 98% occupancy in midtown housing. So the way I like to describe it is you can be another yuppie in Chicago or you can make a difference in Detroit.
You've got to have cities, you're saying, for these students to go to. They want to live in cities.
Well, they don't all want to go there, but for a number of years, a lot of young people do want to go to an urban area, and we've got fabulous urban areas. Royal Oak and Oakland County is drawing a lot of young people, Ann Arbor, Grand Rapids, Kalamazoo. So we've got lots of options, and who else has the Great Lakes and the great quality of life we have? So this is a fabulous place to be.
There's a big tax debate, as you know, going on in this country right now, and I want to ask you about your plans for taxes in Michigan. You want to have a 6% flat corporate tax and do away with all the business tax credits that exist. Why do you think that that's going to be a more sophisticated tax code than the one that we have now?
Well, it's a better answer. I actually came from the private sector and I started my career. I was a tax partner at one of the big accounting firms. So I've been on the private sector side of this. And what business wants is they want certainty. They want some simple, fair, and efficient. And if you look at it from the government side, having all kinds of credits and all those kind of deals doesn't really help matters. All it does is create a short-term advantage for someone. And long-term, someone else is paying for that. So my view is government shouldn't be in the business of picking winners and losers. We should create the most competitive, best playing field we can and let free enterprise work. And this is the way to do it.
You've got a big unionized workforce in Michigan. These are blue-collar voters that tend to vote socially conservative and fiscally liberal. How would you say they're going to vote in this election?
People want more and better jobs, and we're doing a good job of that. As you said, our unemployment rate has come down dramatically better than the rest of the country, and we're being fiscally responsible here. So we've actually started paying down our long-term liabilities. We took over $5 billion off our balance sheet. Our intention is to leave Michigan in a much stronger position for our kids and their future. And we're leading the nation in doing that.
Governor, we're spending the week in Michigan. If there's one thing that you think the rest of the country should learn from this state, what is it?
Well, one, we have the best talent in the state, but also how we're operating now. I call it relentless positive action is our attitude. And it's all about we don't blame anyone. We don't take credit for anything. We're simply here to solve problems. We find common ground. We're not into divisiveness. It's about Michiganders coming together to work and win together. And it's working well. And I think we are a good role model for the rest of the country, and I encourage Washington in particular to adopt this approach. Our economy would be a lot better off, and all of us would be winning more.
Governor Rick Snyder, Republican of Michigan, thanks so much for talking with us.
It's great to be with you. Thank you.
Michigan voters are being inundated with TV ads. Republican presidential candidates are spending millions on the state airwaves in advance of next week's primary. But those ads are more and more often being paid for not by official campaigns, but by giant political action committees, super PACs. Marketplace's Eve Tro reports.
A new funding report shows that a super PAC called Restore Our Future has about $16 million on hand. Mitt Romney's official campaign has less than half that. But that's no sweat to the campaign. Restore Our Future is run by some of Romney's former aides to support his presidential bid. Super PAC funding cuts both ways for Romney, though. It's helped his rivals stay in the race. Anthony Corrado teaches government at Colby College.
Without the super PAC funding, Gingrich and Santorum would have been entering February with basically no fuel left in the tank. But the super PACs provided the boost that they needed to get some advertising to keep traveling and going on the road.
The Newt Gingrich super PAC called Winning Our Future got $10 million from a Vegas casino mogul. Rick Santorum's backers at the Red, White, and Blue Fund just put $700,000 into his Michigan primary bid. Now the Obama campaign says it wants to get more from its super PAC, much more than the $59,000 it raised last month. I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
Now on to General Motors. The auto giant had a record year, and it's going to spread some of its wealth around.
Full-time union workers will get $7,000 bonuses next month, which is pretty nice if you're a GM worker. But it could also be a good boost for the economy. Economists think a lot of that money will get spent, which could have a welcome ripple effect. Michigan Radio's Tracy Samuelton reports.
The GM bonuses could pump close to $700 million into the Midwest economy. That's according to Don Grimes, an economist at the University of Michigan.
People would sell big screen TVs, would probably do pretty well. The auto companies themselves, I'm sure, are going to have some marketing tied to that check. Maybe they'll knock an extra $1,000 off or something like that.
Depleted state treasuries will get a cut of the bonuses, too, from income and sales taxes. But not everyone's going on a spending spree. Rhonda Maurer is vice president of Local 22 in Detroit, Michigan. She says she'll put half of her bonus into her 401k. Half will go to pay off bills.
I don't know what the economy holds or my future holds for tomorrow, so I want to try and get as much paid off as humanly possible.
General Motors says, barring the unforeseen, profits should be even better this year. I'm Tracy Samuelton for Marketplace.
You know, first impressions are important. And the first thing I saw when I landed here in Michigan was the new terminal at Detroit's International Airport. It looks a little different from its counterparts in other Midwestern cities like St. Louis or Chicago or even Pittsburgh. It is new, shiny, big, efficient, fancy, thriving. It doesn't speak to a state in constant recession. It says to me that Michigan is thinking about its future.
Looking for a good read? Visit the Big Book blog at marketplace.org. Listen to author interviews and read excerpts from the Marketplace bookshelf. Online at marketplace.org/thebigbook.
Well, after months of wrangling in a marathon meeting yesterday, European finance ministers have agreed on a $170 billion bailout deal for Greece. That'll save the country from a messy default next month. Here's the head of the IMF, Christine Lagarde, speaking today.
If this program represents the kickstart of shifting, rebalancing towards more productive private enterprise, then it is very, very likely that this will be the turning point where Greece will move away from an economy in 1970s style into a modern 21st century economy.
But that stability comes at a cost for Greeks and banks that own Greek bonds. For more, we go to Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Good morning.
Hello, Adrian.
So let's start with the Greeks. What's this mean for them?
On the plus side, it means they avoid a messy default next month. They get, as you say, new loans worth about $170 billion to tide them over. On the downside, they have more deep public spending cuts, a 22% cut in the minimum wage and job losses in the public sector of around 150,000, and what many Greeks regard as the humiliation of permanent EU IMF monitors in Athens, making sure they comply with all these conditions.
Now, what's it mean for the investors that hold Greek bonds?
Well, they lose a lot of their money. They write off about $140 billion worth of old Greek government bonds. They take a hit of about 75% on their holdings. Pretty bad, but better than a messy default in which they might not get anything.
And what about for Europe? What's it mean to the Eurozone?
Well, for the Eurozone, it means, for the time being at least, the euro has been saved. But not everybody is happy about this. I mean, the main creditor country, Germany, is going to put this through its parliament next week, this package of measures. And there's likely to be vociferous opposition. The finance minister recently called Greece a bottomless pit. And there's real bitterness in Greece itself. Konstantin Mikhailos of the Athens Chamber of Commerce says the people can't take any more austerity.
A social upheaval, a social explosion is very near. And unfortunately, we're still continuing with austerity upon austerity.
And analysts point out there's an election in Greece in April which could produce a government which might renege on the whole deal.
From our European desk, Marketplace's Stephen Beard. Thanks.
Okay, Adrian.
For more on how Greeks feel about the bailout, we turn now to Konstantin Mikhailos. He's the head of the Athens Chamber of Commerce. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, how are the terms of this bailout going to affect Greek business?
Well, unless we can rectify the lack of liquidity which we have been feeling over the last 8 to 10 months, I think that even healthy business units here in Greece will find it extremely difficult, if not impossible, to operate in the coming months, simply because of the so-called country risk, which is seen in a negative way by banking institutions abroad, and therefore suppliers cannot possibly guarantee through their own banking systems the supplies that they're making to this country, and therefore businesses here in Greece are going to be needing cash in hand in order to transact with foreign traders. And you can imagine that is extremely difficult, if not impossible.
Now, where does Greece go from here, do you think?
I think that we all admit that we've got a bad deal in our hands. Even European leaders have pointed out to the wrong mixture that this rescue package has. However, it was a deal that was done at gunpoint. It was ratified by the Greek parliament and appreciate that this is the law of the country today. What we should do is work around this bad deal in order to enhance certain growth measures and stimulate the economy, because that's the only way out. The private sector will be able to lead the way, provided it's given the room to do so.
Konstantin Mikhailos, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And finally, Jeremy, another bailout story. Portugal, which is another country with debt problems, it needed a little intervention. The government there had tried to cancel the traditional Fat Tuesday celebrations. The prime minister called for shared sacrifices and wouldn't declare a national holiday. But you want to guess how this goes? Workers took the day anyway.
Taking the day off.
Taking the day off. Most companies and public services shut down, and street parades are expected to be packed.
Well, good for them.
Yes.
In Ann Arbor, Michigan, where it's snowing, and I don't think there's going to be a parade today, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
And I'm Adrian Hill in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Midday Update.
This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.